That's why we come here on Sundays. So it's great to see that, and we need to do more of that. Amen. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we will begin with worship. Jesus, we thank you so much that we have the privilege and the freedom to gather in your name. We pray that you would be with us today as we fellowship with one another. We pray that you would help us to encourage each other and build each other up. Lord God, be in our midst and draw us near to you. In your name, amen.
Amen. Let's try that again.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison. Sin and things that confound, not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free.
One more time. This next song we're going to sing is I Am Free, and on the chorus there's an echo, and normally I just have my singers do the echo, but I wanted to try something different. So the main part will be this side, and I'll raise my hand when it's our turn, and Sandy's going to raise her hand on the echo. You'll know when it's time because we'll raise our hands. All right? You guys willing to try that? Yeah? We'll give it a shot.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will see, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will pray, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free, yes I am free.
I am free to run. I am free to run.
For our offering, and thank you so much for all of your giving, for your faithfulness. It's been incredible to see the changes that we've made in this church, both in our ministries and in the physical building itself. It's been really neat. And we got more to do, so we got a door to be put in and a ramp to go down the side, and it's going to be amazing. It's something that I've heard talked about since I was a kid, and to see it finally, it's probably been longer than that. Some of you probably remember getting handicap access, and it's incredible. So thank you so much. So let's go ahead and pray over our offering. During this next song, go ahead and bring your offering up if you have it ready. If you're online watching, you can give at glendiveag.org. Look on the right-hand side, and you'll see a Give Now button. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your many blessings, for everything that you do for us, whether it be financial, physical, whatever it is. God, you have blessed all of us so incredibly, and most of all with your Son and your sacrifice that you have made to bring us back into relationship with you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, and we pray that as we give back just a small token of our appreciation, that you would use it, that you would bless it, and that you would build your kingdom. In your name, amen.
If you have BGMC money, I would ask that you would hold it for now. Doug wants to do something special with that later, but for the offering, now's time.
I search the world. It couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. Then you came along, put me back together, and every desire seems satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into through armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You tip beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness of every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness for every enemy. Jesus for my family, Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace through His presence. I speak Jesus.
Presence, isn't it? Let's go ahead and let's just pray here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for everything you've given us here. We thank you for being able to come here just to be able to worship you, God. Lord, we pray for the needs that are represented throughout this congregation right now and our people of influence that we know and that we love. Pray, Lord, that you would just touch them right now, God. You know there's needs. You know there's people that's heartache and different things that they're going through. That they need you, Jesus, that you need to touch them. That they need you, Lord. They may not know that's what they need, but they know that. But you know that's what they do, that they need. I pray, God, that you would just touch them, God. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us a good word in our heart to reach out to people, to be able to show that love for them through you, Jesus. Use each one of us, God. And if we're sitting here right now in this congregation and we need a special blessing from you, whatever we're going through right now, God, pray that they would just reach for you, God. Just quicken their heart right now, Jesus. We pray for that, God. And Lord, as we go throughout this next week here, Lord, you would put somebody on our heart to touch somebody for you this week, Lord. We would ask that, God. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless the rest of this service, bless this word, Lord, that that you've put on my heart, Lord. We thank you now. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You guys may be seated. Thank you, worship team. So, just a couple announcements right now. Pastor is away at the youth retreat up in, or out in Bloomfield right now. We want to pray that they're just being just totally blessed right now, gathering closer and closer to God. That's what retreats are for. I remember going to retreats all the time and just allowing God just to minister to that, to us in that. Just a couple of announcements for the some of the men. They handed out those questionnaires and surveys last week there. If you did not get one, if you'd like to have one of those, and different things about the men's group that we would like to try to see about where that leads in the future. There's a kids' leadership meeting this Thursday, March 10th at 6:30. And don't forget, it's a real important note here, the daylight savings time next week. So basically come an hour earlier than you did this week. Okay? You don't need that extra sleep, do you? Sometimes I think I do, but hey, that's the way it is. There's a board meeting on March 15th, then ladies' coffee later on the 19th, and then ladies' craft night on March 31st. We'll be doing that. So in just a moment, we'll be taking an offering for BGMC. BGMC is a boys and girls missionary crusade. I'm in that. We collect offering to provide a different literature for all the missionaries that are overseas and what they're going through in that. And so that benefits that. It's our children and do that and everything. This week here in a little bit, we're going to be dismissing them, and they're going to be going downstairs to talk about Venezuela today. And I'm looking around, I think that's going to be Jevin and Braitlin this morning. But you know, praise God for that. So anyway, but as we get ready to go here, in just a minute, we're going to get that. But first, I'm going to need some help with like the very first like buddy barrel that we're going to do here. So Jevin, would you come up here for a second? And this is actually twofold. It's going to be kind of helping me with the little bit of the BGMC offering. And also, I'm actually beginning the first illustration of the message this day and everything. So right here, it's my young man, Javin, right here, okay? So, Javin, can you put your right hand up and make a fist for me, okay? So he is going to have this fist, and we'll see if I can do this real good. And make it like this so he cannot just move anything. And so, and let's see if I can break it there. There we go. Now, hey, so there we go. Now, this right here, it's kind of representative of what sin can do to us in our life. He's got his right hand here. Try shaking my hand. That's not the way you shake a hand now, is it? No? Right? Here, catch. I got this for you. I want you to catch this with your right hand. He can't do it now, can he? He can't do it. So all these stuff, all this kind of restriction happens. And that's what sin does in our life. You know, try to raise your hand. I want you to raise your right hand and just praise the Lord here. Okay? See, look at that. I mean, look at that. Actually, see, he can't sit there and receive God's blessing, can he? All these different things. All right? So here, okay? Look, Here. Oh, here's his buddy barrel for BGMC. All right? Okay. Here. Go ahead. Oh. Here. Pick that up. Just with your right hand. You can't use your left. Can't use your left. You can't use your left. No, see? It's not going to work, is it? So, but that's what sin does to us. We can't cope when we get so paralyzed and so down and restricted. We can't do anything. So what happens? So when we come in and we commit and we give our heart and our lives to the Lord, what he does is he begins to free this. See, look at that. When you give your heart to the Lord and you live, hey, you accept his love and his redemption, everything. What do we have here? It's free. Shake my hand. See, that's the way you do a good shake now, isn't it? Right? Here, catch this. Well, he came close. But anyway, it was good. But he can do it. How about raising your hand up here and praising God? See, look at that now. He can do that. He can receive. Go ahead and put the buddy barrel. Put the money in there and everything. There you go. Hit the offering. So he can do that now. Right? He's free to bless others. He's free to give and all these things that he can live and do the blessings that God has for him. But if you notice, look, this is maybe free. He may be free to be able to do that. But look, there's still sin around. He still lives in a world of sin. And we all do. But we're free to do that. And we need to fight that. I'm getting a little bit of feedback, I think. Is it something I'm doing? What do I need to do? See, what was I telling you what could happen here, right? You know, that's all right. So look, we live in this world and we still have sin. You know, we're still within the world. We may be free. We're free from sin, but we're still impacted by it. And we're going to go through that in just a minute because we are immersed in Christ's freedom. So thanks, Javin. I appreciate it. And you can take that off whenever you want. So, and also, if you have anything for BGMC, I'd like you to go ahead and come on, bring it up now, if anything, and then we can go from there. So, thank you for your attention, and I appreciate that. And then also the children there, Javin and Braitlin, you're excused to head on down for a BGMC for Children's Church if you'd like. So, all right. We are going to pray before I read God's word here. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege it is to look at your word today, God. We ask, Lord, that you would just minister to it. Touch us, God. We thank you for all this, Jesus. And bless this reading of your word in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. We are going to read in John 8, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." So freedom. What is freedom? Is it a list of do's and don'ts and things that we go through and we restrict ourselves? A lot of times, you know, realistically, if we hold to this, it can be downright depressing, couldn't it? After a while, just a list of do and don'ts. And it can drain the joy of our fabulous walk with Jesus living in that thing, that situation. So true freedom, if you remember anything today, remember these words, the sentences I'm going to say, because I'm going to go through a lot of stuff here in a little bit. It says, true freedom is only found in Jesus. The believer, by accepting him, learning from him, following him, resting in him, and having a relationship with him, makes us free indeed. Number one, the freedom in Christ is Jesus' mission. In the Old Testament, freedom is closely related to the concept of liberty. Throughout the Old Testament, liberty was usually synonymous with emancipation from slavery. Liberty is also a concept that lies at the heart of the New Testament. The purpose of Jesus' ministry was and is to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's in Luke 4:18. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Where it says those who are oppressed, it means all of us. We are all sinners who need to be freed from the bondage that sin brings. In Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing is good dwells in me, that is my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The worst slaves and prisoners are those who don't even realize that they're imprisoned. That is us before we are saved. That was also the problem with the religious Jewish leaders to whom Jesus' message was directed. They were enslaved by false righteousness. Jesus was trying to free them from their own self-deception. He was trying to free them from themselves. That is what Jesus does for each of us who accept his death for our sins. That is why he died on the cross for us. Our freedom was and is still his first priority. Freedom in Christ is real. Jesus knew that we would struggle with the concept of what it means to be free. Thus, he emphasizes in freedom, he emphasizes of freedom with the use of the word indeed. The use indeed, it means surely, really, certainly, all that indeed. He emphasizes that we're free indeed. And the freedom that Jesus offers, it is real. It's multifaceted, and it's profoundly rich. The list of things that Jesus liberates us from is truly immense. If you are born again spiritually, you are free and raised to a new life in him. All things become new. Romans 6:4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christians are freed from all iniquity. Perhaps the Bible translation that you're used to, it might say wickedness or lawlessness. Instead of iniquity, either way, Jesus frees you from it. You know, that includes death, hell, and the grave. We are also freed from Satan's power, for our own self-deception and from bondage and slavery to sin. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. 1 John 5:18 is, I'll read it again here. 1 John 5:18. Psalm 72:14. From the oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Jesus' freedom is real. It leaves no part of our lives untouched. However, even Christians are not free from pain, death, and sin's influence on the earth, on this earth. Those freedoms are promised only for heaven. Heaven. And Revelation talks about that in Revelation 21:4, where he says, from oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. We are free spiritually, yet at the same time, we are still physically in the flesh, right here in the middle of this broken world, until we are taken to glory. Freedom in Christ is a new freedom. So while we are not fully freed from everything yet, we are at the same time freed to something new when we become Christians. Jesus emphasized that liberty has to do with man's relationship to God. It is not freedom to do what one wants, but to serve God and be who he wants you to be. In Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness. What a concept. Think about that for a second. We've been slaves to sin, and all of a sudden when we give our heart to God, suddenly we're slaves to righteousness? That can blow your mind for a second now, can't it? You know, all of a sudden now, God expects us, and it's our privilege in everything, to be slaves to righteousness, servants of righteousness in that regard. To go out and be a blessing to somebody else. So God can be a blessing to me. And the Holy Spirit works through you, and all that. When you commit and you accept that freedom, accept God into your life, that's what you are. You become that servant to righteousness. So other people may be able to see what you have in your life. It can be so, so refreshing in that regard. So the freedom that Jesus offers is not merely freedom from slavery to sin. It's about being made free to be a slave of righteousness. We are called and saved to something that is liberty. And liberty frees us to serve others in God in a way that only God's children can, because of his Spirit is working in us. Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. The sins of our former lives have had the opposite results. They didn't benefit us at all, did they? All those sins and everything's gone. How does that benefit you? Think about that for a minute. You go and you get in a fight with somebody, some kind of disagreement. You go and you gossip about somebody. You know, all those different things. What is it benefiting? It doesn't benefit us at all. It drags us down. It hurts us in everything that we've gone through. It just doesn't. God is clear. The end for a servant of God is everlasting life. But the end for a slave to sin is eternal death. Therefore, we must see our Christian life on earth for what it is. It's a progression and a race that we run towards heaven. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That is interesting, isn't it? It's with endurance. You run. It's like when we're called into Christian service and we become that servant to righteousness, we find ourselves just basically in a race, in a progression as we grow. And we get to know God closer. That's the reason why we come here to church. That's the reason why there's ladies' groups and there's men's groups, and we do things for the children at their level. Discipleship, all these things. For dinner church, where we have an opportunity for people to be able to learn about Jesus in different ways. We're seeking ways. We're looking for needs out here. We're trying to identify needs that are in the society and then want to supply that need. Identify a need in the community and see what we can do as a church to supply that need. That's the race that we're in, that we're running, so that other people can join us and come in and run, and we can run with them, that they're our teammate, and do that. So as we move towards the eternal city on the journey God has for you in this life, you must grow in freedom and in his grace. That's God's will for his children. This means serving others and experiencing the freeing depths of his love. For we love him because he first loved us. Christian service is done out of an abundance of appreciation and love for the freedom that God has given his children. So then, Christian freedom, as it is bestowed upon us who believe and accept Jesus, is both freedom from things, that is sin and death, and two things, service to God and eternal life. And those. Freedom in Christ is to be embraced. As I mentioned earlier, we established that the freedom of sinners was central to Jesus' mission. We've also learned that Christians' freedom is real and it's comprehensive. So what do we do when we know we are free, but we're not experiencing the freedom that Jesus gives us? Well, you have to be honest and biblical. That means confronting the fact that you still live in the flesh in this life. Yes, we've been set free from things that once had a tremendous hold on us, like maybe drugs, alcohol, gossip, ungodly relationship, and the like. But while we are freed from them in the ultimate sense, they can still have a hold on our lives from time to time. If you remember that thing I did here with Javin earlier and everything, you realize that once he was freed from sin, it was still on his hand. It was still there. And we need to recognize that in our life, in the flesh here, all the time we are being completely attacked to want to fall into that temptation. But praise God, we have the Lord who can help us get through that. Okay. And so Galatians 5:17 says, "For the desires of the flesh against the spirit are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Remember, in this life, we are never sinless. Rather, we are blameless and free from sin's former mastery of us. It is reassuring to know that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that Jesus provided a way. "No temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." I wonder, don't you love that? You stop and you think about that when you fall into yourself, what you're going through, and thinking, how in the world? You feel all these temptations and everything, but Jesus, he provides a way. There's comfort in knowing that he can do that. He can help us in all that regard. So we are under no condemnation if we believe in Jesus. Remember, Jesus died for all your sins on the cross. While we must always treat sin seriously, we must also not let Satan use guilt or shame to derail us from serving God. A tremendous facet of Christian maturity is knowing that you are at the same time justified, but still a sinner. You mustn't really be surprised when you do wrong. Now, I will admit that it's easier said than done, because sin does grieve us with a godly sorrow. For godly grief, in 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." However, we can find ourselves easily allowing Satan to take our godly sorrow and turn it into an enslaving guilt. So, and that's where a lot of young Christians can get tripped up in that. You know, we set our own terms. We strive to be good enough Christians. We react in an intense urge to rid ourselves of all sin, and if we are not careful, that can do us a great deal of harm in that. We can find ourselves being just trapped in it, into that guilt, instead of just handing it over to Jesus. Now, this doesn't give us permission to use God's grace as a license to sin. However, we must always remember that being made free from sin means we are servants of righteousness. Once again, I'm reminded of Romans 6:18. "And having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness," in that regard. So as servants, Jesus is our master. And he has commanded us to always press on and continue. In Philippians 3:14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Freedom does not mean that we allow sin or its power to turn us into depressed people through fear, ritual, guilt, anxiety, and self-deception. Rather, freedom in Christ gives us the ability to move forward. Therefore, godly sorrow leads us to repentance. But guilt leads us nowhere. A preoccupation with guilt does nothing for us or for God. Just the opposite. Guilt tells God that we don't need his forgiveness and that we can't fully accept it because we somehow know better than him if we concentrate on that guilt all the time. So the cure is simply to repent, as mentioned in Hebrews 12:1, "Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and to run the race that's set before you." And the key here is with patience. Lay aside the weights of guilt Embrace freedom. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to him, consider him, and you will not grow weary. Take the focus off what you have done, what you think you must do, and rest your eyes on what Jesus has already done for you. Freedom in Christ is remembering who you really are today. So what about your past? What do you do when the great accuser, Satan, lets you know how bad you once were? How about when you feel like you're just not being good enough today? In such times, we can easily forget that Jesus is our great advocate, that we are clothed in his righteousness, and that he forgives to the uttermost. In such moments, freedom can seem especially far away. Also, sometimes it's not what we've done, but what others have done to us. That hurts us so much and causes us God's freedom to appear distant. Christians are not immune to the wounds, scars, and pains that come from the past trauma. In fact, the devil knows where those scars are, and so do we. The scars of harmful memories and experiences are especially tender to profound guilt and distress when Satan, others, or even we cause them to have power over us. Yet Jesus frees us from our past hurts and pain. In fact, he has freed us from all adversity and all distress. As King David proclaimed and recognized himself as he was getting ready to anoint Solomon, king of Israel. As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity. Now, this does not mean that we don't have to confront fallout from things we've done or had done to us. There is certainly a place for therapy, a professional help, or reparation. Thank you. Those are tools God has given us to use, and we ought to use them. However, we must remember that we are redeemed in God's eyes, that he has informed us along every stage of the healing process, along with the fact that he is working in our life to undo what has been done and working to make it better, as Paul states in Romans 8:28. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now that's freeing, isn't it? When you look at that. Therefore, God has freed you from the sins in your past and from past trauma. Not only that, but he is also working to turn those things around in your life each and every day. Think about what Jesus himself said in John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus takes you by the hand in your distress and says, I am greater than your past, and I am going to walk forward together with you, away from the pain, toward a new life that I have especially for you. Remember that you, who you really are. You are his. And that's glorious. Just think about it for a minute. You know, that he knows you by name. I remember when my boys were little toddlers, you know, just beginning to learn how to walk or trying to. And you know, it'd be like, they'd be over here, right? And I'd walk over, you know, I'd give a short distance away, and I'd say, come here. I'd say, come here, Matt. Come here, Matt. You know, and then pretty soon, you know, you'd see him coming. You know, little steps wildly, maybe fall down, gets back up, and he does it again, and all of a sudden he comes, and you're like going, hey, I'm sitting here, I'm absolutely proud. I'm sitting, he knows me. You know, he's coming. Of course, he knows me, but he's like, he's something he's doing. And then think about that for a minute. That's how God looks at each and every one of us. We look at that. He looks at us and he goes, I know you by name. I know you. He knows each one of us here. God knows you by name. And he gets so excited. And when you come here and you give your heart and your life to Jesus and you go through, you accept that freedom that he gives you, suddenly he's like, look at that. That's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, he's so excited in there. He knows you by name. He loves you. So freedom in Christ is to be able to know the truth and grow. Jesus is certainly the key to freedom from past sins and pain. But we still fall into seasons where we find it difficult to experience that freedom. So what do we do then? First, you must understand what is really going on. When your past or your sins paralyze your mind and your emotions, almost always such thoughts have an undercurrent of fear, anxiety, worry, guilt, and feelings of anxiety, of inadequacy. The problem? Well, such feelings are always self-focused. They're not God-focused. And that's a problem because we never grow when we take our eyes off God. Think about when Peter was walking on the water. You know, the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened to him? He sank. He began to sink. And he focused on everything else other than his Savior. So how often have we heard the question, are you closer to God today than you were a year ago? All the time. But perhaps a better question might be, are you more free in Christ today than you were last year? Yeah. You see, freedom goes hand in hand with spiritual growth, and spiritual growth comes by learning more about God's truth. Jesus taught this in our main verse today. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You must know the truth, but you will only know the truth when you read, study, and meditate on God's word. It's the source of all truth. When you put it another way, we only know God's words in truth, and only experience his freedom to the extent that we continue in his word and learn from him. When you read God's word and know just how much he frees you from and what Christian freedom includes, the Christian life becomes supremely liberating in that. Learning leads to greater liberty. You can only come to terms with God's freedom on his terms, his truth. His word alone is truth, and it is his truth that sets you free. You must study it, and you must learn it. To illustrate how important this is, let's turn our attention to one of the most vital truths about Christian freedom as my message draws to its conclusion. And that is, freedom in Christ is our redemption. Liberty or freedom in the Christian sense has everything to do with redemption. God teaches this throughout Scripture. Redemption is why we are free. And Jesus overcame the power of sin, death, and the law. Peter preached this in Acts 2:24. God raised him up, losing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Acts 2:24. He bore the penalty of sin for us as our perfect sacrifice and substitute. That is how and why we are set free, when we place our faith in him to save us. Redemption, like the concept of freedom, can be thought of as being bought with a price. Out of bought with a price by Jesus and taken away from the world, which is nothing more than a sin slave market. That is the heart of redemption. We are purchased from the world by and for God. Jesus truly is a ransom for all. He bought you and is working in you to make you ever more like him. He will never let you down. His plans are always the best for you, even when you might not fully understand them. So herein lies the point of it all. Our freedom is not found in us. It is not found in feelings or ritual, nor in being good enough. Freedom is only found in Jesus. We are made free and we experience our freedom by and through someone, and that someone is Jesus. Freedom is all about him, not us. That is deeply liberating. You see, as a Christian, you don't have to be someone you're not because you are in Christ. He is your identity. Freedom is about being able to share Paul's sentiment in Galatians, where he wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. His grace is sufficient for your freedom. You don't have to be good enough because Jesus was and is perfect. You don't have to justify yourself anymore. He has done that for you. You cannot experience freedom as a Christian through your own strength. Therefore, be the servant of God you are meant to be. Follow and rest in him today. So I leave you with these words today that I started with today. So please remember this. True freedom is only found in Jesus. The believer, by accepting him, learning from him, following him, resting in him, and having a relationship with him, makes us free indeed. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your message today. We thank you for your freedom, God, and what all that entails, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. It's our glorious, liberating time, Lord Jesus, to be in your care. You are our identity, God. I pray, Lord, that each person here today would just remember that, remember and realize that freedom, and remember what that entails, God, and what it means to be a servant to righteousness, to your righteousness. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and everybody here today, God, as they go their own way. We ask you to place a hedge of protection around each one here. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.